This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Sweet, I know storm clouds may rise, storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, strong winds they may blow. Sweet, I know. He's sweet. I know. Oh, yes, he is.
He's sweet.
He's sweet.
Sweet, I know.
And I don't care about storm clouds. Storm clouds. You can tell him, I found a Savior.
I found a Savior. He's sweet.
He's sweet.
I know.
And if you have your Bibles, we want to call your attention to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, oh God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word, God, that will remind them that you are God and that you're God all by yourself. You have the power. You're omnipotent, God. You're omniscient. You're omnipresent. And Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Keep us now, we pray, through your word. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Second Samuel chapter 23, and we want to read verses 13 through 17. Amen. And three of the 30 went down at the start of the grain cutting, and they came to David at the strong place of Adullam. And the band of Philistines had taken up their position in the valley of Rephaim. And at that time, David had taken cover in the strong place, and an armed force of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David, moved by a strong desire, said, "If only someone would give me a drink of water from the water hole of Bethlehem by the doorway into the town." And the three men, forcing their way through the Philistine army, got water from the water hole of Bethlehem by the doorway into the town and took it back to David. But he would not take it, but draining it out, made an offering of it to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this. How may I take as my drink the lifeblood of men who have put their lives in danger?" So he would not take it. These things did the three great men of war. Amen. As you take your seats this morning in the presence of the Lord, I want to talk for just a few moments from the subject, "If only." Amen. If only. Thank you, ushers. This obscure episode in the distinguished and well-documented life of King David serves as an opportunity to reflect back on the rich history of African American people as we continue to observe Black History Month. If only these two words which David sighed betrayed his thoughts of a past time when he enjoyed not only the refreshing water from the well at Bethlehem, but a time of peace and order. These same two words have often fallen from our own lips as we have reflected back on past times or lost opportunities. The words "if only" are uttered when looking back in retrospect on a situation or event and wishing for another opportunity to do it or experience it again. That's because "if only" also involves 20/20 hindsight. If we knew then what we know now, things would be different or better. "If only" also speaks of something hoped for or longed for. Not realizing that anyone was listening, David said to himself, "If only someone would give me a drink of water from the water hole of Bethlehem." The Bible says that three of his mighty men, at great risk to their own lives, forced their way past enemy guards to the well at Bethlehem, filled the wineskin with water, and fought their way back to David's camp in one of the caves near the Valley of Rephaim. 2 Samuel 23 is an account of David's men of valor. Their acts of bravery are recorded in this chapter. There was Adino, who the record says lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. There was Eleazar, who fought a great number of Philistines for an entire day until his hand grew stiff and tired from gripping the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And there was Shammah, who single-handedly stood and defended a small parcel of land from the Philistines, and the Lord was victorious. These men possess qualities that we should emulate. Adino overcame against great odds. Eleazar pressed his way, even though he was weary and his body wanted to stop. Shammah stood his ground. He stood for something worth dying for. The Bible says that these three were with David when they heard his words, longing for a drink from the well at Bethlehem. And because of their great personal courage and their love for David, they risked their lives to satisfy their king's request. May I suggest to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, that recorded in our own history are the names of mighty men and women who wrought great victories and achievements because of their great courage and love of their own people. They too heard and responded to the words, "if only." They responded to the "if only" of a people who longed to be free and equal. These mighty men and women were responding to years of slavery and social injustice of people who collectively hoped for a better education. They wanted better jobs. They wanted a better way of life. First of all, I want to share this with you, that this if only speaks of regret. When David uttered the words of our text, his mouth spoke of a physical thirst, but his heart longed for the former days of his youth, a time of peace and simplicity. At the time of our text, David was not only at war with the Philistines, the perennial enemies of the Israelites, but King Saul and his army were also pursuing him. The prophet Samuel had already anointed David as God's chosen king of Israel, but his coronation and kingdom were some years off in the future. And we hear David expressing his regrets as he longed for some cool water from the well of his childhood. The enemy now occupied his beloved Bethlehem, and he was a fugitive from the king. How had things gotten so far off course? David sighs, if only. I believe, my brothers and sisters, that it was this same sense of regret that fueled the flames of courage and racial pride that caused our foreparents to excel in the midst of the worst of conditions. Perhaps Harriet Tubman said to herself, "It is not enough that I have gained my own freedom by escaping into Canada. If only I could help others gain their freedom as well." Her response to the self-imposed burden led her on 19 dangerous but successful trips into Maryland and parts of Pennsylvania to guide over 300 slaves to freedom. Richard Allen, a former slave who purchased his own freedom and answered the call to preach the gospel, also struggled with the if only of regret. He was grateful that the Methodist Church of the 1790s allowed black folk to worship with them at the same church, but they were politely ushered up into the balcony. Their dead were not allowed to be buried in the same cemetery with white folk, and other blacks were not being given the opportunity to enter the ministry. I hear him saying to himself, if only we could control our own religious lives as equals to our white counterparts. If only we could have our own churches and our own pastors. Well, in 1794, Richard Allen with Absalom Jones organized the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church. The black church was the cultural cauldron that black people created to combat a system designed to crush their spirit. Collectively and with enormous effort, they refused to allow that to happen, and the culture that they created was sublime. The culture that they created was awesome. The culture that they created was majestic. The culture that they created was lofty. It was glorious and at all points subversive to the larger culture of enslavement that sought to destroy their humanity. They said in their hearts and in their minds, "We would be free." They said in their hearts and in their minds, "We shall overcome." My brothers and sisters, the miracle of African American survival can be traced directly to the miraculous ways that our ancestors reinvented the religion that their masters thought would keep them subservient. Rather than being subservient, this religion, this gospel, compelled them to learn more, to grow more, to develop more, to interpret better, and to reinvent the world in which they were trapped. It enabled them to buy their time, and my brothers and sisters, ultimately it gave them time to fight for their freedom. It gave them time to continue to fight for freedom. It gives us time to continue to fight for freedom. It also gave them the moral authority to turn the mirror of religion back on their masters and to indict the nation for its original sin of allowing their enslavement to build up that city upon a hill. In exposing that hypocrisy at the heart of their Christian country, they exhorted succeeding generations to close the yawning gap between America's founding ideas and the reality that they had been forced to endure. Somebody asked Dr. Henry Louis Gates, who were these people? And I hear the late Reverend Joseph Lowry say it like this. He said, I don't know whether the faith produced them or if they produced the faith, but they belong to each other. Is there anybody here who can thank God for the black church? Is there anybody here who can thank God for a church when we weren't allowed in other churches? You know, some folk run now to other churches because they think everything is better on the other side of the track. But I come by to tell you today, there was a time we couldn't worship in other churches. There was a time that when we could worship in other churches, we had to be excluded up to the balcony. But I thank God for our foreparents who had enough sense to say we can build our own churches. We can train our own musicians. We can teach our own folk how to sing. And is there anybody here who can look back over your walk with God and say that because of the church, I'm better now, I'm stronger now, I'm wiser now. Thank God for the church. So If Only speaks of regret. In addition to regret, If Only speaks of opportunity. Words that David spoke to himself in a private and unguarded moment became an opportunity for service. David's mighty men responded to these words by risking their own lives. My brothers and sisters, our African-American counterparts to David's mighty men did no less. In 1870, more than 80% of blacks in the United States were illiterate. By the turn of the 20th century, still over one-third of the black population had never been to school. It was against this background of systematic educational deprivation that some mighty men and women of color responded to the hope, if only things were better. Agricultural chemist George Washington Carver, who discovered over 300 uses for the peanut, turned down an annual salary of $100,000, which is equivalent to $1 million today. He turned it down so that he could continue his research at Tuskegee Institute on behalf of black farmers in the South. He saw an if-only opportunity, and he made the most of it. Dr. Charles Drew was one of those mighty men who, during World War II, after watching countless men bleed to death because of their wounds, he thought to himself, if only there was a means of storing blood and transfusing or replacing it when men are wounded and losing large amounts of blood. His introduction of a system for the storing of blood plasma revolutionized the medical profession. Drew saw an if-only situation and transformed it into an opportunity for service to humanity. If only speaks of regret, if only speaks of opportunity, but there's one more thing. If only speaks of responsibility. Tell your neighbor, responsibility. David soon realized that those two little words, if only, had placed a great burden of responsibility on his own soldiers. Listen again to verse 16. It says, and the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. When David looked into the cup, he didn't see the water. He saw the blood of the three men who had risked their very lives for the sake of his physical thirst. To drink that water would have cheapened the brave deed of those three heroes. Instead, my brothers and sisters, David turned that cave into a church house. David turned that cave into a place of worship. And he poured the water out as a drink offering to the Lord. It was an act of dedication that symbolized a person's life poured out in the service of the Lord. The three men had given themselves as a sacrifice to the Lord to serve David. The efforts of those mighty men and women of our rich history in response to those two words, if only, were just as courageous, just as noble as those of King David's mighty men. I'm talking about men like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm talking about men like Malcolm X. They literally poured their lives out in the service and best interest of their countrymen. And like David, we must look beyond the historical first. We must look beyond great inventions. We must look beyond innovations. We've got to look beyond world records and see their act of sacrifice. Too many of us are drinking from the cup with no regard for their sacrifice. Modern day African American athletes are driving Rolls Royces and living in big mansions. They are drinking from the cup that Jesse Owens and Jack Johnson and Satchel Paige and countless others have drawn from the wells of injustice and oppression. If only speaks of responsibility, our responsibility. Whenever you choose to sit home and not exercise your right to vote, that means that brave civil rights marchers were hosed. They were beaten. They were bitten by dogs in vain. Medgar Evers gave his life in response to African Americans who thought, if only I had the right to vote. Three young men by the names of James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner were kidnapped and murdered in the backwoods of Mississippi because they heard someone say, if only the schools that my children go to were as good as the schools that the little white children go to. If only I could go to the restaurant of my choice, sit down where I want to, and be properly served and treated with dignity and respect. Mighty men and women of color have broken through the ranks of systemic racism because they heard the cry. The Klan could not stop them. Jim Crow laws would not deter them. Nobody made them do it. Nobody told them to do it. They did it out of love and concern for their own people. And today, my brothers and sisters, we stand here holding our cups, cups filled with the fruit of their labor and sacrifice. This cup represents better jobs. This cup represents better homes. This cup represents better education. This cup represents better opportunities. In our cups, we hold a bright and promising future, not just for ourselves, but for our children and our children's children. If only, let me hear everybody cry with a loud voice, if only, speaks of responsibility. And what you do with the contents of your cup will determine the value and honor you place on the sacrifices of those who have paved the way. David poured the water out of his cup, not out of ingratitude, but as an offering. Go back with me for a moment to those mighty men of David. It says that Eleazar fought the Philistines until his hand grew tired from holding the sword. And the Lord, let me hear you say, and the Lord. And the Lord wrought a great victory. It says that Shammah stood his ground on a small piece of land and fought the enemy all day. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And the Lord wrought a great victory. What are you trying to tell us, Pastor? I'm trying to tell somebody that it was the Lord of hosts who was really fighting their battles. And I know that I may be preaching to somebody today. You've put on your boxing gloves. You've made up in your mind that you ain't gonna take it anymore. And every time that enemy comes at you and cusses you, you learn how to cuss them right back. Every time that a hater lies on you,
You've made up in your mind that you're going to lie on them right back. But I've come by on this Sunday morning to tell you that the same God that fought David's battle, he will fight your battle. Is there anybody here? If you're not too mean and if you're not too proud, you will testify that, bro, pastor, some things that I thought I had to fight my way through, I found out that if I just give it to the Lord, he will work it out. Is there anybody here who knows that he will work it out? He worked it out for my mother. He worked it out for my father. He worked it out for generations of our people. Not too long ago, we came here on ships as slaves. But thanks be to God. I said thanks be to God that we didn't give up. We didn't throw in the towel. Thanks be to God that our foreparents had enough God in them to say, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. You see, if they had turned around, Barack Obama would never have made it to the White House. If they had turned around the young lady that Biden just nominated for the Supreme Court, would not make it to the Supreme Court. But we don't have to go that high. Is there anybody in here? You can testify that if they had given up, I wouldn't have the job that I have. I wouldn't live in the house that I live in. I wouldn't live in the neighborhood that I live in. But I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad that the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. Give him praise. So David, he poured out the water as an offering unto the one who had fought the battles, to the one who had broken through the enemy's camp, to the one that dipped in the well and got him water to drink. When David looked into the cup, he saw the blood of his mighty men of valor. What do you see when you look into your cup? More importantly, what will you do with the water that has been drawn from the wells of life? I close when I tell you that one day Jesus looked into a cup, and the Bible says that in that cup was bitterness. But instead of pouring out the contents of that cup, the Bible says he became the offering. He himself was poured out as an offering for the sins of the world. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad. I said I'm glad that he chose to pour himself out for my sin, for my iniquity. Don't act like you don't have any. If there's anybody that can testify that I've sinned and I've come short of his glory, but Jesus said, if only I could get me a body, if only I could be born to a virgin,